Okay, so I was just reviewing all the main power series, i.e. infinite degree polynomials. Geometric series, exponential series, sine series, cosine series. Then our most elaborate one, binomial series. Okay. So here, I'll write it to match the book this time. So we have some number p. P is a real, but we're interested in the case where it actually, where the polynomial goes on forever. So where p is not a non-negative integer. Right? Because if it is a non-negative integer, then you can figure this out exactly. So this is the... Okay. Now, so exponential series, sine series, cosine series all converge for all x. Which I can write in a funny way for x having magnitude less than infinity. Right. Whereas this one is only for x less than 1 in size, and this sideways stuff is not good. Okay. Binomial series is like the geometric series. In fact, if you plug in p equals negative 1 and replace the x with a negative x, you get exactly this. Okay? This is actually a special case of this. If you just replace the x with a negative x, replace the p with a negative 1, the geometric series is a special case of the binomial series. And binomial series converges for x less than 1. Ophelia asked a question about what happens when x is exactly 1 in size, and I did some research because I couldn't remember it all off the top of my head. The answer is complicated. I have about 8 or 9 pages of stuff.
I'm sorry I made you homework.
Oh, no. No, this was fun. Yesterday I was thinking, what do I want to do? Do I want to grade tests? Or do I want to do some stuff about the binomial series? And the answer was clear. So let's see if I can find that somewhere here. Oh.
Here to test that. Hmm? Oh, I was making a joke. I made you prefer to grade homework.
Yeah. I mean, for me, you know, grading, that's kind of like my homework thing, something I have to do. Where'd it go? Okay. Okay. I don't see it there, but I do have it, and I'm going to post it to Angel, so it'll be another bit of optional reading. Yeah.
It's kind of tricky as to what happens. If you make x equal to plus or minus 1, then whether or not the series converges depends on the value of p. But again, that's very much optional and tricky, complicated stuff. So I'm not going to require it of you, but I'll put it up there so you can see the kind of crazy stuff I would do. All right. Let's see. Okay, first, let's write out an entire series, kind of like the dot 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 notation, the ellipses notation. Okay, so we look like this. Okay. Now, this kind of notation here. It gets kind of cumbersome to have to write out these long products. So the book and I will use the standard abbreviation. Just that. This is the kind of the generalized binomial coefficient. You may have seen binomial coefficients before. So this is, you take the product of P times P minus 1 times P minus 2 times P minus 3 all the way to P minus N minus 1. I guess if you want to make it really uniform, make the first factor there a P minus 0. So it really is a nice uniform pattern there. And then the denominator, you have 1 times 2 times 3 times 4 all the way to N. So the denominator is just N factorial. But this, you know, since there's no like standard abbreviation for it, you know, people come up with a new abbreviation for it. Now there's kind of, it might not be obvious, you know, what about the first term, right? I mean, this formula makes sense for N equals 1, but it's not clear what you're supposed to do for N equals 0. Kind of the idea is it's a product of numbers, and so kind of like if you added up nothing, you should get 0. If you multiply nothing, there's a sense you should get 1. Because just like 0 is the additive identity, 1 is the multiplicative identity. But whether you think that's a good justification or not, this is just the definition. Kind of like how we define, you know, like in here, you know, 0 factorial is also 1 by definition, which is, if it wasn't, then like this formula for cosine and this formula for exponential series, you know, wouldn't be valid, you know, because I'm plugging in 0 for the factorial there. Where the equal signs go. Now, you have all these nice series, and the way you prove these all involved. The geometric series we proved it directly, and then for these other four series, how did we actually prove that like these three converge for all x and this one converged for x smaller than 1? Use the ratio test. Okay. And for a different kind of series, you might prefer to use the root test. But the idea is with the ratio test and the root test, you can get a clear dividing line, right, that says, you know, for x smaller than this number, the series converges. For x bigger than this number, the series diverges. For x exactly a certain size, I don't know what happens. Have to look it up. Right? And there's the eraser, but what I need is to take a picture for that eraser. So the radius of convergence is kind of the generalization of this concept from these special cases. These are by far the most important series. But we'll consider other series. Like, what's the power series that people like to use for the logarithm function? We haven't gotten to that yet, but there is one. And you can also use power series to estimate integrals. So we'll want to consider other power series than just these standard ones going forward. And so we'll need to know when does my power series converge and when does it diverge. Ratio test or root test to answer the question. Okay. So, here would be the ratio test version.
if the limit of the ratios goes to L, right, then if you were thinking about it in terms of a power series, where these are just coefficients in front of a power x, right, then the most of the factors of x, except for one, cancel. Okay. Similarly, if you're doing a root test and you actually get a limit, then if you switch from just a series of numbers to a series of powers, a series of multiples of an increasing power of a fixed of a variable x, then the idea is you're thinking of x as a constant when you do this limit. Okay, you're taking the limit with respect to n, but you're holding that x constant as you vary n. Kind of like for any given x, you have to compute the whole series to get the value of your infinite degree polynomial at x. Well, anyways, the nth root of x to the n is just x. Well, with absolute value bars. So again, you get this. Okay. So when the ratio test actually, when you try the ratio test or the root test, if you actually get a limit, then you can use their criterion. Right? They say that if the limiting ratio or the limiting root is smaller than 1, the series converges absolutely. If it's bigger than 1, the series diverges. Okay? So this is kind of the general form of how we analyze the binomial series and the exponential and trig series. You may want to rewrite these inequalities in terms of something more helpful, which would be in terms of x, right? Solve the inequality for x. X is less than 1 over L in magnitude. Absolute value of x is greater than 1 over L. Okay? So you get a clear boundary between convergence and divergence. So that reciprocal is called the radius of convergence, because it says that within distance r of 0, the series converges. Beyond distance r of 0, the series diverges. And we don't know for sure what happens at exactly distance r. We'd have to do some harder series tests, probably comparing to a p-series, or doing some tricky integral test or something. That's what I had to do for the binomial series at the boundary. I had to use a bunch of different tricks. But within the radius of convergence here, things are very nice. Right? As we'll discuss later, you can do all sorts of stuff with series within their radius of convergence. You can integrate them and differentiate them just like they were a polynomial. You know, the fact that there's infinitely many terms doesn't cause a problem. You can add them and multiply them just like they're polynomials. As long as you stay within the radius of convergence, everything is great. It's just like you were dealing with polynomials.
Now, once you get to the boundary, things could go bad. And beyond the boundary, things are definitely going to go bad. Now, there's kind of two extreme cases here. The L here will never be negative because these absolute values are always either zero or positive. But the L could be zero or it could be infinity. So you have to handle those cases. And so the natural move to make is to say if L is zero, then R should be infinity, and if L is infinity, then R should be zero. Okay. And that works, right? Because if L is equal to zero, then like L of X smaller than one is true if and only if, well, that's a zero, so zero times anything is zero. Okay. And 0 is less than 1 no matter what x is. All right. Okay. So that's why... So for all x would be the same as writing for x of size smaller than infinity. So if L is zero, we're gonna call R infinity because that will capture our idea here of converging if you're less than distance infinity from zero. Okay. And if you got L equals infinity, then you picked a really bad power series. Okay. Right. This is never gonna be true. So you just let R equal zero, okay? Technically, if you plug in zero into a power series, then all the terms except the first term, the constant term, will be zero. And so the series will converge, but only when you plug in zero. And that's not a very interesting case. I mean, if you get that, it means you really shouldn't be using that power series. It's not useful for anything there. Because it only converges in a stupid way when you plug in exactly zero. So examples of all these things. I could give you more elaborations on the theory here, but I think we need to take a break from that and do some examples. Okay, so how about this? Five plus 3 over n to the n. Okay? So in this situation, you've got something weird here to the power n. So do a root test. And leave out the x part. Just think of this as a coefficient for the nth power of x. Okay, so this is positive, so the absolute value doesn't do anything. The nth root cancels the nth power. And I'm just left with this, which goes to 1 over 5 plus 0, which is a fifth. So the radius of convergence is the reciprocal of that, which is 5. Okay? So what we'll call the open interval of convergence is the biggest interval on which this, the biggest open interval on which this series converges, would be from negative 5 to 5. Anything distance less than 5 to 0, I know by the root test, it's going to converge. Not sure what will happen on the boundaries, but I do know that beyond negative 5 and 5, this series diverges. So if I want to explicitly say that, I would say something like this. I'm not making any claims about what happens at exactly negative 5 or exactly positive 5. The root test is very powerful, but it's not sensitive enough to give me that boundary information. But it has the advantage of being a lot easier than the kinds of tests I'd need to figure out the boundary cases. Another one. Separate these. This one's really bad, okay? It's a factorial, so hit it with the ratio test. Leaving out the x. So remember that this is all the numbers from 1 to n plus 1 multiplied together. This is all the numbers from 1 to n multiplied together. So they all cancel except for the n plus 1 on top. And they're all positive, so after that, you don't do anything. This goes to infinity, so r equals 0. Okay, so this series is really bad. It diverges everywhere except 0. And it does converge at x equals 0. Because it's just going to be 1 for the first term. Right, I mean, if we write it out, it'll look kind of silly. But anyway. So 0 factorial times 0 to the 0 plus 1 factorial times 0 to the 1 plus 2 factorial times 0 to the 2. And by convention, 0 factorial is 1, 0 to the 0 is 1. Okay. And this, these regular power, any positive power of 0 is 0, though. So you just get 1 plus a bunch of zeros. Okay. So it'll converge in a stupid way, but not in any interesting ways. So that's a bad power series. This one, make this one too weird yet. Here's one, I got a little alternation in there, and do that. Okay? This one's a great candidate for the root test. So the value bars go inside the root. Okay, negative 1 to the n, leaving out the x part. Okay, well, minor technicality here. I can't take the natural logarithm of 0, and the natural logarithm of 1 would be 0, and I don't want to divide by 0, so I'm going to start the series at 2, so that this is actually well-defined. I don't want, the log of 1 is 0, and I don't want to divide by 0. The log of 0 is undefined. So started at 2 to keep this sensible. All right, so just think of the coefficient for n equals 0 and n equals 1. Those coefficients are just zeros because they're not in the series. That's,
Okay, so the negative 1 to the n is plus or minus 1. The absolute value of ours will make it just a 1. And then we have the nth power, the log of n, undone by the nth root. So we have 1 over ln of n. So, but the natural logarithm function, as you take its inputs to infinity, the outputs go to infinity too, right? Like the log of e to a million is a million, right? You have to put in ridiculously big numbers to make the log big, but you can make the log big with big enough inputs. So this is just going to go to zero. Okay. So R, the radius of convergence, is just infinity. And then the open interval of convergence would just be the whole real line. Okay. This series will converge everywhere.
So what do you think? All right, I'll take some pictures and then I'll throw in a few new ingredients. I'll have to think about those. This one's a little different. So basically think of that x to the 2n as an x squared to the n. So I've changed it around a little bit. So basically I'm skipping a bunch of terms. I mean, if you wrote this out, it would look like 6 minus 3 over 5 minus 6 to the 6 times x to the 12. So really, this is an abbreviation for a power series where the coefficients 0 through 11 are all 0. Then this is the coefficient for power 12. Then power 13 has coefficient 0. Then the next non-zero coefficient is for power 14. Right. And then the coefficient for power 15 is 0. Then the next non-zero coefficient is power 16. Okay. So how do we find the radius of convergence for this?
My guess would be, since it is to the nth power, we'd be using the root.
Yes.
So we can take out the n?
Yes.
Well, yeah.
But because I've got an x to the 2n there, because you know, I'm skipping terms, I have to be careful about how that squaring there of the x to the n interacts with the radius. Okay. So to be extra careful on this one, I'm just going to keep the x in there and do the root test on the whole thing. So when in doubt, just usually you can do this kind of shortcut here where you leave the x off and then just take the reciprocal of the limiting root or ratio to get the radius. But if there's something more complicated like that, if it's not just an x to the n, you know, put it back in. Put the x back in. And then just go ahead and do your root test, your ratio test. Okay. Now, for n at least 6, the 5 minus n is negative. So to make this positive, I have to flip it around. So it's going to be n minus 3 over n minus 5 to the n. And I'm going to factor that as x squared to the n. Now, well, and x squared is never negative, so I don't need to worry about the absolute values changing it. So now we get n minus 3 over n minus 5 times x squared. Well, this is not a good example because the x squared isn't going to make any difference.
Yeah.
I want to make it, I'm going to cheat and change it. Well, okay. I cheat thusly. Put a little 2 there. Okay. Now, this is, now this will be 2 minus 3 over n, and then 1 minus 5 over n, because I looked at the fastest growing term in the denominator and divided the top by n and divided the bottom by n. And the x squared is just along for the ride. Okay. And so then in the limit, as n goes to infinity, you get 2 minus 0 over 1 minus 0 times x squared. You just get 2x squared. Okay. So now the root test says that if this limiting root is smaller than 1, the series converges. If the limiting root is bigger than 1, the series diverges. Okay? So, series does. So we have two cases that we understand. So it converges absolutely if 2x squared is less than 1, and it diverges if 2x squared is greater than 1. I guess this one's a little trickier. Alright, so now you have to solve for x, so you divide by 2, and then you take the square root. So like this, what I'll do is, since this is already positive, or at least not negative, it's actually the same as if I wrote it this way. Now I take the square root of both sides, and I know that here I want the square root that's not negative. Okay, so in this example, the radius is 1 over the square root of 2. Because the power of x was not a simple x to the n, I had to be more careful about figuring out the radius. Right? If I had left the x out, I would have got a limiting ratio of just 2, And then the reciprocal would not have been the correct radius. Because of that x squared, I had to undo it with a square root. Okay. So the open interval of convergence is from negative 1 over root 2 positive 1 over root 2. And the series diverges on all the stuff further away from 0 from 1 over root 2. And we have no idea about what happens on the boundary at plus or minus 1 over root 2 exactly.
Questions or comments about this example?
So sometimes you have to do the whole ratio test or root test with the x in there. Let me just mention that if you have the more general kind of power series, like say I did this, then there's really nothing new going on. Like if I wrote, say, this, then this is just going to shift everything to the right by 7, okay? So it's not going to do anything really different. We just slid everything over. So just slide your interval of convergence over. See something like that where instead of just powers of x, you have powers of x minus something or other. Well, x minus some constant. Then just slide everything over. And of course, you can always subtract a negative number too. That's fine. So if I had x plus 8. Right, that, think of that as x minus negative 8. So sliding the graph to the right by negative 8, sliding it to the left by 8. Let's just do some more of this for the homework. I always write open interval of convergence because the true interval of convergence might include 0, 1, or both of the endpoints. And so we're just looking at the open intervals of convergence because you might have to do something really nasty to, you know, actually figure out what's happening at the boundary. And I don't want to get into that right now. Okay.